Good morning. The church is a family, and I'm so thankful to have Stonebridge as my church family, a place where people genuinely love the Lord, where people genuinely love one another, a place that feels like home. And it's not perfect. We're all struggling to fight our sinful natures, to kill our sinful selves, but this place, to me, genuinely feels like a place where people love the Lord and want to see Him King in their lives. And it's a place where you can find love, and I think I have felt so much love here, and I hope that you have felt so much love just being in community with the people of Stonebridge, because this is where we're going today and where we've been last week, is the deepest desire in our hearts and in the human psyche is to belong. Like, the deepest desires that we have are for relationships. The need to feel at home, it's what people are ultimately searching for. And there is no deeper desire in the human nature, and I think it usually informs most of the decisions that people make. That we all make countless decisions throughout our lives, and everyone is always making decisions, and usually the deepest rooted desires behind those decisions is usually for this need for relationship. Whether people make good decisions in life or bad decisions in life, there is usually an underlying root desire to feel included, to be in a group, to feel a relationship, to be cared and longed for, that this is the deepest desire of life. And your deepest desire is to belong. Your deepest desire is to be in a relationship. Your deepest desire is to be at home. And that's why I preached last week on the wisdom of deep relationships. That we need deep relationships. We cannot go through this life alone. We were not meant to be independent. We were created for relationships, and so we should lean into them. That we should seek out deep relationships. It's absolutely vital to our life and our health that we are in deep relationships. But it means that you must be in deep relationships with the right kind of people. That it is foolish to be in deep relationships with the wrong type of people. And we've been doing this two-week study, mini-study in the course of our Bigger Picture of Wisdom on relationships. And if last week was all about finding good and healthy deep relationships, today is the wisdom of choosing the right type of deep relationships. That we can't be in deep relationships with everyone, that there is a certain group of people that we need to be in relationship. And that's what we're going to look at today. And that the main message of today is this call of wisdom to be friends with the right type of people, to have the right kind of deep relationships. And once we answer that question, I want to look at a second aspect, and I want to look at the type of boundaries we need in these relationships. What type of boundaries we have in our friendships, that there are healthy and unhealthy practices in relationships, and we want to be wise in the way that we conduct our relationships. And so first, I want to look at the types of people that we should be in deep relationships with. And then secondly, what types of healthy boundaries do we have in those relationships? And so, what kind of person should we be in relationships with? I'll let you guys guess, but there's a book in the Bible that's got a lot to say about it. So open up to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 is where we're going to start today. And we're going to be hopping all around Proverbs and a couple other books of the Bible. So please grab a Bible, come along with us. I'm not trying to say anything that's coming from Benji's brain, but we're just trying to hear the word of the Lord from his word. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13, verse 20, page 1004 in the church Bible. What type of person should we be in deep relationship with? The word of the Lord. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. The types of deep relationships we should be in are with wise people. Duh. We're in a series on wisdom. I hope that you were kind of expecting that, but that we are called to be in deep relationships with wise people. But I want you to stop. I know we're in this series on wisdom, but think about it. What is God saying? What is God saying here in Proverbs 13, verse 20? The people that you walk with, the people that you associate yourself with, your companions in life are extremely important. The people that you group together with and band together with are extremely important in your life. That though if you band together with foolish people, you will come to harm. This is the normal path of life. This is the message of wisdom. That the normal pattern is that if you walk with fools, you will be a fool and suffer harm. But if you walk with the wise, you will become wise. Your deep relationships matter. It matters so importantly who you are connecting with in life. And why is this the case? Why does having deep relationships with fools come to harm? Because you begin to take on their traits. You start to look on them. Flip ahead a couple chapters to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verses 24 through 25. Proverbs 22, 24 through 25. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. And that this is the message of wisdom, that you pick up the traits of the people that you spend time with. The ones that you hang out with begin to rub off on you, and you start to look like them. This is what this proverb is saying, and it uses the example of a person who is hot-tempered or easily angered. And that if you spend a lot of time with someone of this character, you start to become like them. That your temper starts to match their temper. It rubs off on you, and this is why when you hang out with fools, you will suffer harm. That the right type of people that you are supposed to be in relationship with are the ones who are going to rub off you in the right way. That you hang out with the people of character and wisdom and level-headedness and integrity so that that begins to rub off on you. If you want to grow, if you want to see your character developed in life, not exclusively, but one big way of developing character is to be with people of character who help push and grow you, who help model and set an example for you to show you the right, wise way to live. Hanging out with fools and their foolish ways will rub off on you. And we're not going to flip there, but just to quote 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. The company you keep will in large part determine the path that you take." Bad character corrupts good morals. Don't be corrupted. Choose your deep relationships wisely. And it's about this point in a sermon where I usually give an example of what this might look like. But I almost feel like I don't even have to give an example. You have all seen this in your lives. And I probably don't want to like highlight someone bad in my life. But you've all seen it. You can all immediately picture someone in your head who you've seen them start hanging out with the wrong crowd, and they start walking in very foolish ways. It's like the plot line of every teen movie. Like, you know what I'm talking about. You can think back to high school. It's so common where people are so impressionable because they desire deep relationships and want to belong that they hang out with the wrong crowd. They start doing bad things, and it leads to disaster in their lives. You have all seen it in your own lives. You know what this looks like. That when we hang out with people of poor character, it rubs off on you. So we listen to wisdom. The people that we have in deep relationships is so important. Choose your friends wisely. It is a conscious decision to choose, to make a decision. Proverbs 12:26, as I put it on the front of the bulletin because I thought it was such a good summary, says, "The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." That when it comes to deep relationships that are good, these are good things, we should desire them, choose carefully. Make a good, conscious decision. Who is the type of person that I want to be close with so that they will rub off on me and that my character will be built and so that I can walk in the way of wisdom? And then the second reason, or the second thing we look for in choosing deep relationships, is that we choose someone who has the qualities and characteristics of a good friend. And this is kind of what we looked at last week, but I want to look at another proverb that didn't make the cut last week in my sermon notes, so they made it this week. Proverbs 17:17. And I love this proverb, and I pray that this is the type of people that we want to be, as well as find people like this. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity." A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. That the type of relationships that we are seeking out, deep relationships, are people with the characteristics of a good friend, one who loves well. And I love this line, a friend loves at all times. That the ones who are good friends are the ones who don't love just when it's convenient. The ones that will love you when the tough times hit. The ones that will love you through thick and thin. The ones that you can depend on. They're reliable. These are the types of relationships that you want at all times, not when it fits their schedule. And then the second half of the couplet, a brother is born for a time of adversity. The type of friends who stick by you when the tough times hit. The ones that are willing to walk the muddy paths, so to speak, with you. The ones that are not afraid to get dirty with you in the mud as you go through the struggles of life. This is the quality of a friend. This is the quality of a deep relationship that we long for. Someone who truly loves and truly cares for you. And I hope you see how important this topic is. Because last week I really tried to drive home for all of us that we should desire and seek out deep relationships. And that is so important. But they have to be with the right types of people. It can't be a deep relationship with everybody. The ones that you have a deep relationship with will direct your course in life. Therefore, we must choose carefully. We must choose first people who have character. People of deep, godly integrity. Character, the ones that aren't hot-tempered, the ones that will push us toward righteousness, because this is what naturally happens in life. And then secondly, we need deep relationships with people who genuinely care about us, who are concerned with your soul and who are concerned with walking through the tough times of life, who will love at all times, who will be there for you, that this is the message of wisdom to us. What type of deep relationships? People of character and people who care for you. And just like we talked about last week, if you're looking for these things in a deep relationship, you better model them as well. That we have to be the type of friend that we want in a friend. That it's not enough for us just to seek out good people, good quality people to be in deep relationships with. We need to be that same friend to them. Because if we want to hang out with someone of integrity to rub off on us, then we have to be rubbing off on them too as well in the way that we build up their character. That it goes both ways. And so in this search and this message of wisdom to be in a deep relationship, it is just as important that we are being the type of friend that we want to find. They are so important to life. We have to do them well. But it's not enough to just choose good friends to be in deep relationship with. We need to have healthy practices in our friendships. And these healthy practices are often called boundaries. And that word actually isn't specifically in the Bible, the word boundaries. Well, it is in the Bible, but it's always talking about like the borders of various countries, and like the Old Testament is the only place you'll hear the Bible talk about boundaries, not like relationship boundaries. But it's the same exact concept, because a good border on a country separates one country from another, and a good boundary in a relationship separates one person from another, where one person starts and another person ends. And that just like countries have borders, we need to have boundaries in our relationships. This concept is found all throughout the Bible, even if the general word or the specific word isn't. And that I want to highlight, I'm just going to look through a couple of verses in the Bible that talk about how important it is to have healthy boundaries in our relationships. So we're going to flip to the New Testament for a second. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 6, the last chapter in the book of Galatians. And Paul's going to tell us some stuff on what it means to have healthy relationships with boundaries. Galatians 6, starting in verse 1. Page 1813, if you're using the church Bible. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to anyone else, for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from their flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now, there are a lot of things going on in this passage. This is often how Paul writes his letters, that when he's getting to the end of his letter, I don't know if he's like running out of room on his papyrus sheet or whatever, he just starts throwing a whole bunch of ideas that he wants his church, or wants the church to hear. Just a bunch of random ideas, often loosely connected. And there is a loose connection here. And that theme is human action. The things that we do, that we are called to do good works. And at the end of this letter, Paul is encouraging the church, generally speaking, to persevere in the way that you walk and the things that you do and the actions that you take. And he picks up this idea of personal responsibility. I just want to highlight it in verse 5. For each one should carry his own load. For each one should carry his own load. And that we are called by God to carry our own load. That your responsibilities, your basic needs, your walk in life, you are responsible for. No one else is responsible for your life. You are responsible for your life. And that we are called to carry our own load. And I want to use the analogy of a backpack. That we all have a backpack to carry, and it is our load, our responsibility, and we put things in our backpack because they belong to us, and we are called to walk down this journey of life carrying our own load, carrying our own backpack. And that we all have a backpack to carry. We all have a personal backpack that we need to carry. But sometimes people have more than a backpack. Sometimes people have a U-Haul. That they've got a whole truck behind them that they're trying to pull on. And people cannot carry their U-Haul alone. And Paul hits that in verse 2 when he says, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. That we are called to carry each other's burdens. That we are called to help pull each other's U-Hauls. That people have burdens that they are carrying that they are not meant to carry alone. And this is exactly what deep relationships are for. That we are called to help pull each other's U-Hauls. This is what a good friend does. And he hits one in verse 1 when he's talking about sin and restoring them gently. That one of the big U-Hauls burdens that we carry is sin. And it's not something we can carry alone. That does not belong in the backpack. That needs help being pulled and to fight sin together. That we need to bring people with us to fight sin. It is not something we do alone. And there are lots of things in life that we don't do alone that belong in the U-Haul. And it's something like abuse. If you have been abused physically or sexually or verbally, this is not a burden you should carry alone. You should find someone who you trust will not continue to hurt you and have them help you work through those issues of abuse. We do not ever stand for abuse, especially in the church. That it is a burden no one should carry alone. But the wisdom of life and the wisdom of boundaries is distinguishing between these two. What is in the backpack? What is the normal personal responsibility of life? And what is in the U-Haul? What is something that someone needs help with? What is their burden that they need someone to come in and help bring healing and restore them? That in our relationships, in our deep relationships with people, we have to have the wisdom to distinguish what is the backpack and what is the U-Haul. Because if you help carry someone's backpack, you are actually hurting them. That if you help someone carry their own load, all you do is wreck their lives. And so let's jump back to Proverbs, Proverbs 19:19. It's all connected. It's too bad they're not closer in our layout of the Bible. Proverbs 19:19, page 1013, says this, "A hot-tempered person must pay the penalty. Rescue them, and you will have to do it again." A hot-tempered person must pay the penalty. Rescue them, and you will have to do it again. And that this is where this idea of carrying someone's backpack comes in. Because if you rescue someone from the natural consequences of their action, you will have to do it again, because you are hurting their growth. That the point of this proverb is you don't rescue someone from the consequences of their action, so they learn from their choices, the consequences. And if we take people away from the consequences of their actions, all we do is hurt their character. They have to learn from experience. And you will continue to have to rescue them, because you're the one paying the price. Because you're the one holding the backpack for them so that they do not feel the responsibilities of their own choices that is supposed to be their personal responsibility. And to rescue someone from their own responsibilities to become an enabler, to enable poor decisions. And if you help carry someone's backpack, you just hurt them. This is why in 2 Thessalonians, Paul will say, "The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat." That if someone doesn't want to work, don't feed them. Again, because you're hurting them. I know it feels good to help someone, to feed someone, but if they're able to work and unwilling to work, that is their own backpack. That is their own responsibility. And you hurt them, and you hurt their growth, and you hurt their character if you provide for them when they could be doing it themselves. That this is the wisdom of relationships and boundaries, to distinguish between the backpacks and the U-Hauls. And the mature person in life is someone who can carry their own load. And the good friend is someone who helps them carry their own load. We do help carry their burdens with the U-Hauls in the analogy. But we are called to help. We are called to let them carry their own load. Because we don't do things for people because it makes us feel good. We need to do things for people because it actually does good. It actually brings growth. It actually helps mature them in the walk of life. And that these are healthy practices called boundaries. And I'm only just scratching the surface today of what it means to have healthy boundaries. But we need boundaries in all of our relationships. Boundaries of time and space, boundaries of words and conversation, physical boundaries, emotional distance, consequences to actions. These are all areas of boundaries in relationships. And I just want to highlight one more. And that one of the key parts of boundaries is the ability to say the word no. To be able to say the word no. If you can't say no in a relationship, then you do not have healthy boundaries. Because the way people respond to us saying no determines or lets us know how much of a friendship this really is. If someone refuses to accept your no, you know that they really don't care about you. That the word no, that boundaries themselves are like a litmus test to our relationships. Because the ones that care and love for you will respect your ability to say no. That they will accept your ability to have a little distance in some part of a friendship. Because just like borders and countries, we need to distinguish where one person starts and another person ends. If someone doesn't respect your boundaries, that is a clear sign that they do not value you as a person. And I want to wrap it up because I'm sure at this point you're thinking, Benji, this doesn't sound very Christian. Aren't we supposed to love our neighbor? Aren't we supposed to be friends with everybody? Doesn't Paul say he's poured out like a drink offering for the faith of others? Shouldn't we as Christians want to love and love extravagantly on everyone? And the answer to that question is yes. Yes, we should love everyone. We should try and be friendly with everyone. But that doesn't mean we should be in deep relationship with everyone. That these things are two separate camps between loving and between having a deep relationship. that there is limits to how close we can get to people, that there is wisdom, actually, in not getting too close to people. That's what we've been looking at in Proverbs, the wisdom of deep relationships, of choosing people of quality character, of choosing people that love at all times. And just on top of that, there's just a physical limit to the amount of time we have in the day to carry our own loads and handle our responsibilities of life and connect with people. You cannot connect with everyone. It is impossible to be close friends with everybody that you meet. There's just not enough time in the day. And so we need to take stock of our relationships, that we need to examine them and choose carefully and be intentional about who we are close with and the deep relationships that we have, that we pick them wisely and we pick them so that we can both grow. And then having boundaries in relationships, saying no to people isn't unloving. Boundaries help the other person grow. Some separation between people, even close friends, is a good thing. That you are not someone's savior. It is not your responsibility to meet all their needs. That is the work of God and God alone. And to go into a relationship with the inability to say no is you trying to say, I'm going to be everything for that person. And what you're really doing is harming their growth and their walk. Because like we said earlier with the backpack in the U-Haul, you grow when you pick up your backpack, your own personal responsibility of life, to meet your own needs, that this is the responsibility of every single individual. And we want to help others grow. That this is what good friendships do, that we looked at last week, iron sharpening iron. That we won't help people grow if we don't have good boundaries in our relationships. But it doesn't mean that we should try to love the world, that we should love our neighbor, that we should actually stretch ourselves out to love. We should stretch ourselves to care for people that we meet, even strangers that we just met 30 seconds earlier. That we should actually be uncomfortable in our ability to try and love others around us well. That this is the model of Jesus and the model of all the great saints who have walked before us. And I'm not going to read it today, but in Romans chapter 12, 9 through 21 is this extended section on what it looks like to love. And all throughout the passage, it calls Christians to love, to bless those who persecute us, to not repay evil for evil, to do right in the eyes of everybody. And if I had to sum up this section, I would say this, that this section in Romans 12 calls us to be shock absorbers. That in the same way that you have shock absorbers on your car, or when you're a kid on your little razor, right? That when you go over bumps, they kind of absorb the pain so that you don't, or absorb the irregularities in the road so that you don't feel them in the car. That this is how we're called to love in life. That we actually take in emotional pain and absorb it instead of giving it out. That we are the shock absorbers of life. That the way that we love helps us to absorb hurt so that we can love others well, even if they don't love us back. And we can only do that. We can only live out this call to love our neighbor as ourselves. We can only live out this call to love as shock absorbers and to absorb pain and not give it out if we have close personal friendships, if we have safe spaces with close people where we are truly loved, where we truly feel at home, where that relationship is strong. Because when you go out into this life, you are going to be hurt. There are going to be people that you bump into at work and at school and on the streets and in the grocery markets that will hurt you. That will emotionally hurt you. And we have to have a safe place where we can run to, where we can be confident of that we are loved and accepted and known so that we can absorb the natural pain in life. This is why we need deep relationships. This is why it is so important that we genuinely try to build deep relationships, and especially at church, especially here, that the deepest relationships, and I'm not saying not to have deep relationships with people out in the world, with people who don't know Jesus, but to have deep relationships at church with other Christians, because I don't care if you don't know the person that well sitting in your row, and I don't care that you may not be a great whiz at having conversations. That if the person sitting in your row in this room right now has a deep and growing love for Jesus, then you are connected at the deepest possible level you could be connected at. And that even if you do not share anything else in common or another interest with someone, you are connected at the deepest level of life. And that is the love and service of Jesus. That you are both living for the glory and fame of Jesus. That you want to see Jesus proclaimed. And that means that you can have a conversation with anyone in this room. Even if one likes sports and one likes art, and there's just no connection between the two, you can talk about your faith. And that is a long conversation piece. That is not exchanging pleasantries. That we are called in the church to have deep relationships, to help push and grow one another, that this should be a safe place. And while you may not have as deep of friendships with people in this room, you should be willing to encourage and grow, that we should be people of character, helping to build up and helping to walk in a more mature Christian life. Because we are connected at the deepest possible level. And just like we read in Galatians, we're called to do good to all, but especially to the family of believers. That our first priority in doing good is right here, helping encourage, helping grow, helping care for one another, because we are connected in the body of Christ. And that's a beautiful, glorious thing. So develop your friendships here and be the type of brother or sister that you want to find. Find the people in life with good, godly character. Find the people in life that will love and care for you well, and be an even better friend back. This is the call of wisdom. Listen to her, and you will prosper. Let's pray. Jesus, we come before you, and Lord, I pray that, Lord, as we've been looking at relationships, that we would do relationships well, do them your way, that we would listen to your word speaking on what it looks like to be in relationship and community with one another, and that we would put them into practice, that we would seek out good, deep friendships with good quality people who love you, that we would be the type of people that we want to be friends with, Lord, and that in our relationships we would have healthy boundaries, that we would have healthy boundaries for the purpose of not pushing people away, but to help build both parties up. Lord, we want to do this life well. We want to walk in wisdom. We want to live the good life that you call us to. And so I pray that we would heed your call today. Heed your call for wisdom in relationships and boundaries, God, and that because of the way that we live and the friends that we choose, Lord, that we would grow, that you would use our relationships and our friendships for our growth. Lord, we want to look like you. To use the language of Paul, we want to be transformed in the image of Christ. And I pray that you would use our deep relationships to do just that. And it's all because of your work that you did on the cross. And so we say thank you. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.